You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Denmark's Torbjørn Olesen picks up his first Rolex Series title at the Italian Open, his fifth European Tour victory in all.
It means the world, obviously. These are the biggest tournament we play besides the majors. And that makes it even more special for me to stand on top and to get that win.
We'll hear more from the Dane during the show after he edged out the home favourite and last week's champion, Francesco Molinari.
I gave it my best and feeding off the crowds. I'm close another time, so I'll come back next year and try to grow to do one better.
We'll speak to former Masters champion Danny Willett as we review all the action from the Garda Golf Country Club. He had an encouraging top 10 finish. Plus, we preview the next event on the Race to Dubai, the Shot Clock Masters in Austria. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and today I'm joined by former European Tour player John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
Remarkably well, yourself?
I'm not too bad. It is good to see you because you have been busy. You've just about fitted us in today, haven't you?
Tight schedule. Always nice to be here, though, Dan.
Rolex Series event we're taking a look back on, the Italian Open. And a win for Torbjørn Olesen. 5 wins now on his CV. He's a very good player, under the radar very good player.
Yeah, he is a very good player. I love the way he swings it. I like his attitude. And to be honest, I've played that Garda Golf. They did switch the nines round, but his scoring of 22 under for 4 rounds, closing with a 64, was spectacular golf. Because his season's been kind of average and a bit of time off earlier in the year. I don't know whether that was due to injury, but this is the time of the year to play really well with the 8 Rolex Series events spread out now. And this is number 2, and he's a championi.
Yeah, Torbjørn Olesen had a final round battle with Francesco Molinari and Lee Slattery, needing a par at the last after home favourite Molinari sent the crowd wild with a birdie from 30 feet. The Dane looked in trouble when he pulled his drive a long way left, but he made an excellent up and down from a greenside bunker to complete a final round 64, a flawless 64, and a 22 under par total, as you mentioned. The scoring was so good. When we previewed this event last week, we knew it was going to be good. We didn't think it was going to be this good. Should they have set it up a little bit harder to test the golfers, or were the conditions just so that the players could make mince meat out of the course?
Well, they had quite a bit of rain, so you get soft fairway, soft greens. These guys are very good. It's a little bit like throwing darts. It doesn't take them very long at all to get used to the golf course, and as I say, they're so good. You couldn't set it, you've no control over the weather. So if it's put some rain down, and it did put plenty down, there was a small delay, I think, on Thursday, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And apart from that, of course, it was just in perfect condition. And with the modern game now, they find a way around, and, you know, to shoot those scores is superb. I've played it, and it's a lovely, lovely golf. It's a very nice part of the world. Have you ever been to Lake Garda?
I've never been to the lakes in Italy, no.
Even the fish.
I can't afford to go to the lakes.
Well, get in your car. Oh, no, you can't drive.
I can drive. I have got a licence. I choose not to.
Yeah, ring me when you're busy. Okay. Cleanest lake in Europe, Lake Garda.
Why?
Because it's so clear.
Because?
The water's very clear.
You're going to have to give us a little bit more on the lake.
Well, the water comes off the mountains.
You started the lake conversation, so give us a little bit more.
You can see the fish in that lake. The trout are beautiful. I've stayed there a couple of times. Mm. Magnificent part of the world.
Are you a fisherman?
I am.
Really? Mm. Biggest thing you've ever caught?
A fish.
Lee Slattery led going into the final round. Torbjørn Olesen was one behind the Englishman. You had to get off to a good start. Usually in these conversations, John, I talk about protecting leads and so on and so forth, but you had to go for him. You had to put the foot down straight away. That's exactly what Olesen did. He birdied the first, he birdied the fifth and the seventh, but everyone was making birdies. It was a real battle over the course of the 18, wasn't it?
Well, it was, yeah, but as I said, you know, these guys are so good. They could reach the par fives. The greens were putting beautifully. He only made 4 bogeys throughout the week, an average of 1 around, obviously, but none in the last round. And really, Olesen's class. He is a class player. He's somebody I'd like to see in the Ryder Cup. I remember when he got his first win, which I think was in Sicily a few years ago, in the Roccaforte. And there was a lot talked about him. Of course, he's won the Golf Sixes and other tournaments, and now this is his 5th win. But this would be his biggest win. He came to prominence really with me. I think he played with Woods in the Open in 2012 at Lytham. I remember following him, and Woods rated him very highly indeed. But I like the way he swings the club and got the deepest voice in Denmark.
Ollison and Molinari pretty much went head-to-head over the back nine. Lee Slattery's challenge faltered over the course of the final nine. Obviously, he wanted to win, but he wasn't in great form coming into it, Lee. Was his eye more on getting as many Euros as he possibly could, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's all about your playing rights for next year. He's won a couple of times on tour, but when you're not having a great season, you know, the weeks tick away, and if your confidence is low, there were a couple of performances, weren't there? Obviously, Slattery, Danny Willett, who's had a really tough time. But for Slattery, had he got the win, he would have been delighted. But, of course, now he's secured his playing rights for next year, so we can freewheel now the rest of the season into the big tournaments and may well go on to win a lot of money this year.
We spoke to Francesco Molinari last week. He said potentially he might be running on empty heading to Italy in
well,
his home open.
You would be counting all your money, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I suppose you would after winning at Wentworth. But he birdied 13, 14, 15 and 16 on the last day. Didn't appear to be running on empty then, but it was the mistake on 17.
Yeah.
Poor shot, really, wasn't it? Put it into the bunker and made bogey when most were making birdie on that 17th hole.
Well, he doesn't hit many bad shots, Molinari. If you wanted a golf swing to copy for consistency and accuracy and repetitiveness, I would go for Molinari. He's excellent. So, you know, he hadn't made a bogey from the front nine on, I think it was the sixth on day three.
That's right.
It's a long way
to
go.
Did he go 85 holes without a bogey on tour? That's second best run after Tiger Woods. Was it 85 or 84? We'll have to check.
Bow to your greater knowledge, but you can see why that happens with the way he swings it.
He's metronomic, isn't he?
He is metronomic. Unfortunate bogey at 17 would have been a dreamy story to get your third. I was there when he won his first one. Fresh-faced and young. Not me, him. And of course, then he won again, and that would have been unbelievable for him to have won three. But the crowd, he really entertained the crowd, but Ollison was superb.
First time that he's won coming from off the pace, Torbjörn Ollison. He's won from the front before. How different is it when you're the chaser?
Well, it is.
Or does it not make any difference?
I think there is a little bit. You know, when you're playing well, you can only do what you're doing with your game. You can't be responsible for anybody else's playing. If you're playing well and leading, that hopefully will take care of itself. But you can't look at the scoreboard worrying that somebody's made a birdie and then sort of protecting what you're doing.
Wayward drive on the final hole from Ollison gave Molinari a bit of a chance because Molinari rolled in a 30-footer. And it takes some bottle, doesn't it? Because the whole of the crowd in Brescia are wanting Francesco to win. So he's showed good temperament and resilience, hasn't he, there?
Yeah, and that last hole is a toughie off an elevated tee to a plateau fairway. And then second shot downhill over, I think it was about 489 yards, this par four. It was a stern par four. Left was not very good, but he got away with it. Got it into the greenside trap. I was actually enjoying that. And guess what happened?
What happened?
A power cut.
Really?
Mm.
Well, you will live in the frozen north.
Well, the guy pedalling the bike in the garage had just nipped out to make a cup of tea at the wrong time.
Do you still enjoy watching in black and white up there?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, all right.
We've just got some...
Don't bother with the snooker, though.
Inside lose now and everything.
Fantastic. Brilliant. I'm pleased you've got that. Are you surprised no one went really low on the last day to maybe challenge Ollison and Molinari? We saw some ridiculous scoring on days one, two and three. We potentially could have had a couple of 60-61s, maybe. I thought that we might get someone coming from deep in the pack maybe to post a score, but it never quite happened, did it?
Well, Jimenez in his 50s shot 63.
It's not bad, is it?
It's pretty good.
It's not bad. Nearly shooting his age. He will shoot his age at some stage, I'm
he
sure.
Will indeed. He's playing this week as well in the Shot Club Masters.
A
couple of 64s. I mean, you know, it's 7 under par, Dan.
True.
Par 71.
It's not bad, is it, I suppose?
There's a birdie every two holes in a bit, isn't it? It's not bad.
It's all right.
Yes.
I'd say it was all right. So what we're saying is that Ollison and Molinari went head-to-head. Ollison came out on top. Let's get some social media reaction from you. Are you on Twitter yet, John?
I am.
Really? What was your social media reaction to this? What did you post? What did you tweet?
Well, I was going
to
show...
Are you one to tweet congratulations to winners?
No, I like to show me roast potatoes on a Sunday.
Okay, excellent. Thomas Bjorn said, unbelievable, so happy for my pal Torbjörn Ollison. Very gutsy all day, and especially on the last. Up the Vikings. Bjorn is the only Dane with more European Tour titles than Ollison. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Who else would be in the mix for that?
Anders Hansen.
Anders Hansen.
Kelsen.
How many's Bjerregaard got? Just the one? Two?
Bjerregaard has got one, Portugal.
Mm.
Kelsen, what's he won?
Unless we count the sixes, then he's got two.
I cast my mind back to, let's say, which sounds, you were in your mid-50s then, 25 years ago, when the federations all built these teams.
Yeah.
Denmark, France,
yeah.
Sweden, Italy.
Yeah.
And now, not just now, but before, you know, like Johansson's and the Carlsons, Bjorn came off part of that programme in 95 when he won on the Challenge Tour and then came out and won the Loch Lomond Invitational in 96, his first win. That's 22 years ago. You go back to them because those lads went abroad because obviously the winters are pretty long in Scandinavian countries. But I tell you what, they've done it the right way, the Germans as well. Fantastic. So we're seeing now people from all over the world are winning on the European Tour. And, you know, you look at the Asian lads, Hao Tong Li coming through and Kim. It's just, it's very, very strong wherever you look on a leaderboard now.
Time to hear from the man himself, Torbjörn Olesen, for whom the Italian Open was a first Rolex Series title.
Means the world, obviously. These are the biggest tournament we play besides the majors. And there's just a different atmosphere, I think, with all those players. And you can feel you're coming to a Rolex Series when you play here. And that makes it even more special for me to stand on top and to get that win.
You had to scramble pretty hard on some of those holes as well. You kind of won this the difficult way.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't make a bogey today, but yeah, I had a couple of good up and downs, but I felt like I hit quite a lot of greens as well. There's a couple of tee shots I don't really like on this golf course. 15, 16 is two of them, and I've struggled all week with them, but managed to make par birdie, so yeah, it's been good.
I'm sure you knew by the roar that Francesco had made a birdie at the last, so you knew the pressure was on when you stood over that par putt. What's going through your mind at that point?
Yeah, I was standing down there in the rough and seeing him hold that long birdie putt, and in back of my mind, I thought bogey probably would make it to win, and then all of a sudden, I knew I needed to make four to win, and that definitely made it tough. But it was nice to hold that putt on the last and to get that feeling of holding it when it really matters. Try not to think about Ryder Cup or anything. Just try to keep getting better and keep getting more consistent and being contention more.
Torbjörn Olesen, who won the Italian Open, part of the Rolex Series. Now, it was a very good field, and obviously he gets plenty of Ryder Cup points, plenty of cash as well. We'll talk about the Ryder Cup a little bit later on when it comes to Torbjörn. But this is obviously, John, his biggest win of his career.
Absolutely, yeah. And what's it going to do for his confidence now for the rest of the season and moving, you know, forward? When he looks at that leaderboard, which he topped, and looks at the names on it that he's beaten, you can only be and draw confidence from it. So I expect a big year from him, and I do expect him to push hard for the Ryder Cup, even though he says he's not thinking about it. Of course he will be.
Teeing off around about now in the US Open qualifier at Walton Heath. Yeah. Awful lot of good players teeing up, aren't they, today?
Yes.
Bit of live reporting on the pod, which you don't usually do, but Simon Hawkes and Scott Gregory, 5-under at the moment.
Which course are they on?
Don't know.
Brilliant.
Doesn't say.
Well, there's two courses to play there, and they'll have to play
Which one do they usually play on?
Both of them.
Oh, I see. So one the first day, one the second day.
There's nothing gets past you. So, yeah, obviously, you know, I mean, who's there? Harrington, three majors. Westwood.
Yeah.
He'll be there.
Andrew Doat.
Everybody wants to play in the US
Fisher
Open.
Jr.
Yep.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of guys off tour. If you get through there and you're not on the higher echelons of the tour, you have played really well over 2 days. And it's overcast and not very windy, so scoring... Has it been dry down here?
I don't know. What was the going for the derby on Saturday? It was sort of soft, good to soft in places.
Who do you mean? Man United, Man City?
No, I mean the Epsom derby, the Colts classic, John.
Oh, don't follow
for three-year-olds, no?
Oh, yeah. That's a bit young for them to be running around.
Well, you know...
Over fences?
One by the good... No, not over fences. No. On the level, on the flat.
No idea what you're talking about. But, no, it's going to be tough 2 days around Walton Heath. But fully deserved if you get through. I think there's only about 11 spots or something like that. 9 spots. Not many.
Olesen's 5th European Tour victory in his 198th appearance. To put that into perspective, Francesco Molinari last week won his 5th European Tour title in his 310th event. Olesen's 4 previous European Tour wins have all come after he held the 54-hole lead, so this was something a little bit different. And he's up to 75th in the world rankings from 129th.
2 wins, 1 every 40. It's not bad, that.
It's not bad, is it?
It's about every season and a half.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the rest of the leaderboard and those that just missed out. First of all, last week's champion at Wentworth, Francesco Molinari, who went close again.
I gave it my best, and you know, fair play to Thor. He played great today and yesterday to win it. I'm really happy the way I played today, and yeah, the birdie run on the back nine was great.
What was it like when that putt went in on 18? You sank a good one on 18 yesterday, and that was an even bigger cheer you got today.
Yeah, well, today was really the last chance to you know, put some pressure on Thor. I just tried to give you a chance, you know, get it to the hole, and he came out perfect. And it's, yeah, a great way to end a fantastic week.
Obviously, you won this event a couple of years ago. After winning last week, there was always that threat possibly of the hangover from last week, but you've shown that this event means so much to you, and that's probably had a big part in the play this week.
Yeah, definitely. I gave it my best, and I was a little bit low on energies early in the week, as I said. Yesterday, today, I felt great, feeding off the crowds. And, yeah, I'm close another time, so I'll come back next year and try to go to do one better.
Francesco Molinari second after winning at Wentworth the previous week. He put us away last week because neither myself or Rob tipped him for this week because he said that, you know, it's going to be tough to repeat what happened at Wentworth. But he played very well. Could he win a major, Francesco? How close is he?
I think he's certainly got the game. You need a bit of luck in a major. He puts the ball in great positions and is able to go at flags. I think he putted very well, actually, in Italy. Better than I've seen him for a long time. He gives himself a lot of chances, like Westwood, and when they don't hold them all, then they're seen as not a very good putter. It's the fact they're such good iron players, you can't hold them all. But yes, in answer to your question, I think he could well win a major.
Because I always think that the US Open might be his best chance. I know you talk about putting, but just the fact that he's straight, he keeps it in play, he always hits greens. No, what would his best chance in a major?
Depends what they do with the course at the US Open. Sometimes it can be very, very much a lottery. We'll see what this one's like.
Which one of the four, then, do you think he might be better suited to?
Well, I think he'd be pretty good for a Masters. Is he long enough? He's certainly not short, but the greens are so difficult at Augusta, or even an Open Championship. Remember, next year they changed the schedule round. Mm. So the majors come bang, 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 bang. That's four of them.
It'll be fascinating to see if Francesco can add a major to his CV. After his great week at Wentworth, incidentally, his excellent run of bogey-free holes ended at 85. I thought it was 85 when I talked about this earlier. I should have read the script a little bit further down the line. Anyway, that was during the Italian Open. The best, as I also mentioned, because I know these things, John, on tour, Tiger Woods, 91 without a bogey. That was across European Tour events in 2000 and 2001.
Yes, I can believe that.
What was your longest
three
stretch?
Three holes?
Three, come on. What's your longest stretch?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Why not? I know it was a long, long time ago, your playing days.
I wouldn't be interested.
Have you ever done a bogey-free tournament?
No, but I tell you,
bogey-free round?
DJ Russell did in Lyon in about 93, went four rounds without a bogey.
Really?
Yeah, when
he won. You remember that?
Yeah.
And that's years ago, but you can't remember anything about yourself?
No.
Do you know why you're here?
Nope.
I know you're getting on, John, but come on, up your game, son. England's Lee Slattery signed for a 67 to finish third, two shots behind playing partner Olesen.
I think Torbjörn could have held it from anywhere today. I think, you know, under pressure, I've seen him hold so many great putts today, and I think I always thought that I needed to make a two on the last, even when he knocked it in the bunker, I thought he's got to hold the putt. You know, you just had that feeling about him all day, which is probably what I was like yesterday, actually. But delighted to finish 20 under par, finish third in a Rolex event. I mean, that's, you know, it's a big stepping stone for me, that, so hopefully I can kick on a little bit more.
How pleasing was that eagle on 15 just to get you back into contention, because you'd just fallen away a little bit?
Yeah, I had. I mean, you know, unfortunately, my caddy, I hope he's all right, actually. My caddy, you know, was struggling. He had a really bad back going up one of the hills. He was struggling to breathe a little bit, so we switched caddies, and I think it just affected me a little bit, and I hit a poor drive off the next. You know, I didn't hit many poor drives today, and, you know, it just cost me a couple of shots, and they were crucial at the end.
I'm sure the cheers from around the course was telling you what Francesco was doing out there, and he made a valiant effort as well to keep the pressure on you guys.
It's quite easy to tell, actually, yeah. I mean, it must be like a Ryder Cup atmosphere there, coming down the last. When he held that putt, I was like, geez, look at them crowds go. Great to see, you know, when an Italian does well in Italy, it's brilliant for the fans.
But as you say, Rolex Series, there's some more big events coming up, Ireland, Scotland, France, and now taking good form into those events. You must be very enthused about the events coming up.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a really slow start to the year, you know, so after last week, a really disappointing Wentworth, to come here and play like I did, you know, and secure my rights for next year. There's so many things I've done this week in just 1 week, and you know, it happens to everybody this, you know, you just have one good week and it can change your whole season. So hopefully that can change mine now, I can have a good year.
I've played with Lee, really one of the nicest blokes out on tour, won a couple of times, wasn't having the best of times, and then bang, third in a Rolex event, completely changes your season, your mental approach, and probably your schedule, because he would have been chasing prior to this, thinking, I need to get some money up sharpish, the weeks are ticking by, but he's taken care of it.
Lee's third round 62, incidentally, joint lowest round of the year on the European Tour. It's also the joint lowest round in 9 European Tour Rolex Series events. Rafa Cabrera-Bello was fourth, with Andy Sullivan tied for fifth after a decent week in Italy.
Monday I wasn't thinking about playing because of the birth of my son, so, you know, to be here and then actually, you know, come out here and perform has been really good. So, you know, all in all, good week and going back to my little boy.
Yeah, congratulations to Andy on the birth of his son. A player who's been in form, who's getting close to a win as well.
Yeah, he is. He's been showing some form, hasn't he? So maybe a win's around the corner, but it's all about consistency and confidence, but he seems to be heading in the right direction.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that we can now speak to one of those who finished tied for eighth in Italy. That's the 2016 Masters champion, Danny Willett. Danny, a return to form. Your reflections on your week in Italy.
Yeah, a really good week. Got to obviously be up in the last couple of final last groups in the last couple of days, which is nice. Get the juices flowing again and kind of remember what it's like. And yeah, it was a good, exciting weekend. And obviously the scoring was pretty low over the weekend as well. And unfortunately we couldn't quite keep pushing forward. But no, yeah, looking back, it was a good, successful week.
How frustrating has it been? Because you have had a rough time, and I bet at times you've thought, what's happened to my game? How much does it lift you up now that you played like that and get a top 10 in such a strong, strong field?
Yeah, it does. It has been obviously very frustrating. But we've been doing a lot of changes with Sean Foley, and basically the first plan was to get the body pain free, working alongside Kev Duffy to kind of do that as well. So, you know, we're working to try and get the body pain free, which was the first step, and we kind of did that. But within that, we obviously had to change a lot of our technique-based stuff and a lot of our numbers, physics numbers with TrackMan and things to kind of to aid the back, and it took a long time to kind of get the, I guess you'd say, more like the visualization stuff and the shots on a golf course. It felt pretty comfy on a driving range, but then you get onto a golf course and you've got to say you've got a right-hand flag with a wind out the right, and instead of hitting a fade in there, you're trying to hit a draw or do whatever, and you know, it's just trying to match up what your eyes are seeing to what you're capable of doing, and then not kind of double guessing yourself and making it worse. So that's kind of been the biggest step forward I think we took last week, was kind of the shots we were seeing and how we were able to play them were matching up a lot better.
It was a surprise to many that you got a top 10 in Italy, but did you think it was coming? Did your team think it was coming?
Yeah, we were pretty close at Wentworth last week. We played some really nice golf, tee to green, really struggled on the greens, and we also had three divots and a ball that finished in a pitch mark on the fringe that wasn't ours. You know, we had some ridiculous luck in Wentworth, so a couple of them things go your way. We could have had a reasonably nice finish there, I would have said. And, you know, the game was getting better. And yeah, it was nice in Italy that obviously we had some beautiful weather. Conditions were pretty perfect for scoring. You know, obviously a very soft golf course, not very much wind. So, you know, you didn't really have a great deal else to think about other than firing straight down a fairway, straight at a flag. Yeah, you know, it was a bit of a surprise, but I think some of the guys, if you'd have asked, kind of Foley and Kev and Sam, you know, if they thought it was close, they probably would have said yes. But, you know, again, you can never really tell with golf.
Your head's a funny thing sometimes. Do you go and have a look in the wardrobe every now and again at the green jacket just to remind yourself?
You know, you still got to remind yourself that, you know, that kind of you've been there and you've done it and you know what you've achieved. And
yeah,
I think that helps when you come in, you know, if and when we're getting contention in another major or in another big golf tournament. You know, I'm sure that memories will come back to the forefront of your mind. You'll use them and realise that you've been in that situation before and how nervous you were and how you overcame it. And then obviously the other people that you're playing against, you kind of know that they're really nervous. I haven't got it's obviously hung up in the locker next to me, but I've got the suit cover, that's good enough.
Do you take a bit of inspiration from one or two other players that have dipped after, you know, good years and good seasons? The likes of Westwood and Stenson dropped a long way down. Even someone like Bubba Watson dropped outside the top 100 and has fought back this year. Do you look at other players and think, well, you know, this is very, very doable. I am a very good player. Do you look at what's happened with other players and take a bit of inspiration from it?
Yeah, you do. Stenson, yeah, slipped down and then he's back up and he's now consistently inside the top 10 for a few years. And West has obviously been right up at the top of the game for a long, long time. And so he's obviously polishing off the Masters in 2017 to kind of really top off, you know, what has been a fantastic career. But within that, it's all been, people see that a general upward curve, but actually if you look at it closely, it's a real roller coaster ride in, you know, in little humps and hollows along the way. So, yeah, you just got to kind of take on it and you speak to them guys. And luckily I'm close enough to a few of them guys that they're able to talk do things with you and what they kind of did. And yeah, you realise now, you look at them and kind of realise that, you know, last week and nice little building blocks to hopefully get him back there.
Well, Danny, it's been a pleasure to have you on the Race to Dubai show and we really enjoyed watching you play in Italy. It's great to see you back in the top 10. Let's hope there are going to be many more to come and maybe a win over the course of the summer. Thanks for joining us, pal.
Well played.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
John, that was a much more positive Danny Willett. Obviously, we've not seen him on leaderboards recently because he's had a string of missed cuts. There's an awful lot of goodwill in the game towards Danny, certainly from a supporter's point of view. Mm. It would be great to see him contest in the big events over the summer.
Well, it would. I mentioned before, consistency. You know, one swallow doesn't make a summer, and he will be aware of that. It's where he is mentally going forward. Hopefully, he's going to draw massive confidence from that. And sort of relight the fire in him again. You mentioned, you see, you don't know about the injury and how the body feels. You just look at somebody who misses the cut and say they're not playing very well. If you're carrying something, the game is really hard to play because you're kind of kidding yourself, but he says he's pain-free now. So I wish him well and I hope that he does, I hope he does press on because he's a quality player.
Top 10 then from the Italian Open, John.
Right, well, we know that Torbjörn Allison got his fifth win. He won that from second place, Francesco Molinari. Thirdly, Slattery. Fourth, Rafa Cabrera-Bello. Fifth, tied Graham McDowell, Andy Sullivan, Lee Westwood. Then eighth, tied Ryan Fox, Martin Keimer, Ian Poulter, Callum Shinquin, Jordan Smith, and as we've just mentioned, Danny Willett. So that is actually the top 13.
Congratulations also to Gregory Avray, who celebrated his 500th European Tour appearance in Italy. He's had a very good career, hasn't he, Gregory? Nearly won the US Open, didn't he, a few years ago? Your thoughts on getting the 500 up?
Well, it's a milestone, isn't it? You've got to put some years in to do that. There's been a good few done it, and he's nowhere near finished. I mean, would Avray play 600? I think he probably would. Another maybe 4 years out on tour. I don't see why not. There aren't too many got to that, but yeah, he's a very good player, and he did nearly win the US Open when McDowell won it.
That's right. When Dustin Johnson fell apart on the final day. Been great to have the Rolex Series back. You hear the players talk about it now, don't you? It's been a fantastic introduction to the European Tour.
Yes, it has. And obviously big money events, eight of them throughout the season. Everything is, well, not everything, it's majors, WGCs, Rolexes. The big money events attracts the big fields. And of course, then that's your measuring stick on how good you are because of who you're up against.
Next one is in France, June the 28th.
Paris National. Have you been?
I haven't been to Paris, but not to the course. Any
get
good?
On the train. Get
really?
On the train.
On the old Danny McGrain.
Everybody, get on the train and go to Paris National. And then you'll think, oh, I need to come back here for the Ryder Cup. It'll be awesome.
Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips. I was in this seat last week. I went for Ross Fisher, who somehow contrived to miss the cut, even though he was gunning for the lead at some stage. I'm not quite sure what happened to Ross.
You couldn't pick strawberries, could
well,
you?
Well, I've been in good form this year. Mark Warren also missed the cut. Only by a shot apiece, but there you go. So I'm minus 10. That's my first minus 10 of the year.
Duffer.
Robert Lee went for Thomas Peters, who was tied for 14th. Bit of form from Thomas. He needs it, doesn't he? 5 points. And Andrew Beef Johnston, who was tied for 42nd. You get zero for that, but five all told. Good to see Thomas back as well. He had a poor final round, got off to an awful start. But first time we've seen him. And we always think Ryder Cup year, we're going to always think Thomas Peters because of what he did on his debut. But he's going to have to go some to try and get in the team, John.
Well, he is, but I think Bjorn will want him in the side. So if he shows any form at all, McIlroy wanted him last time. I think one way or another he's going to get in.
overall scoring for the Fantasy Race to Dubai tips. The presenter, which is me this week, is a 105, co-presenter 25. So you're under a bit of pressure there, pal. Fantasy Race to Dubai game. Nick Borman is now top of the overall global standings, while Jacques Amelin got the most points last week. In the Race to Dubai Show's own mini league, congratulations to listener Eddie Whitefields, who got the highest score from the Italian Open, while Alex Mansell has moved to the top of the table. Did you ever put a team in our particular competition, John? 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 John?
No.
Thanks for that. We need the top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings.
Well, you can have them. It's led by, now, Francesco Molinari from Patrick Reed, the Masters champion. Rory McIlroy is in third. Cabrera Bayo, Rafa, fourth. Alex Noren in fifth. Torbjörn Olsen now up to sixth. Kiradek Appibarnrat, which is a cracking score at Scrabble, he is seventh. Tommy Fleetwood, eighth. Shubhankar Sharma, ninth. And John Rahm is tenth.
Ryder Cup standings.
Right, well, there's two lists. Right, there's a world points list, everybody, and there's a European points list, four qualifying from each, and then Darren Clark, Thomas Bjorn gets the other four picks. I know you're finding that amusing. Mm. Now, from the world points list, that is led by John Rahm, then Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Noren, and Rafa Cabrera Bayo. Then, off the European points list, it is Francesco Molinari, Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Rose and Rory McIlroy. And I can tell you that Olsen is now fifth on that list. So remember, it's four from each and four picks. I think four picks is a lot.
I think four picks is a lot.
Well, it's actually a third of the team. Well, it's 33%.
Who do you think might get in as a pick? Because we talked about Thomas Peters before. You think Peters, regardless of how he's going to be playing?
No, not regardless. I think if he just keeps ticking over.
Do the same rules apply to Ian Poulter?
Well, Poulter, you know, he's playing all right. You could do a lot worse. You need somebody in there like a Poulter. Obviously, Peters had a fantastic Ryder Cup last time. I mean, if you look at it now, Molinari's played before. Hatton's never played. Noren's never played. Cabrera Bayo's played. Fleetwood hasn't played, has he? So there's a Norse John Rahm. So there's quite a, you know, quite a lot of inexperience, which nowadays I don't think matters that much. But it'd be nice to have some guys in that, you know, can say, hand on the back. Now then, it's not as bad as you think. It's worse.
Since we're talking about the Ryder Cup, let's hear from Graham McDowell, who followed a 12th-place finish at Wentworth with a Rolex Series top five in Italy.
The Ryder Cup vice captaincy announcement last week, I think it helped me, inspired me a little bit to be part of the Ryder Cup setup and be talking about it and feeling it, and also lifted a weight off my shoulders, that kind of, that sort of subconscious pressure of trying to make the team, you know. So it freed me up and I managed to play well the last couple of weeks and take some nice confidence into the summer. Since I got announced as vice captain, I've never looked more likely to be on the team than I have the last 2 weeks. So, you know, it's ironic, but no, listen, being a player on the Ryder Cup team in France this year is still a huge goal of mine this summer, and I think it's achievable still. It's going to require a lot of great golf. There's a lot of great players ahead of me, you know, listen, if I can play pressure-free golf and enjoy my golf the way I have the last few weeks, you know, I think I can give it a run.
Compare and contrast with fellow vice-captain Lee Westwood, who also tied fifth in Italy. Is he chasing a playing spot on Thomas Bjorn's side?
No, I'm not really thinking about it, to be honest. I'm concentrating on being Ryder Cup vice-captain. You know, I'm a long way from being in the team right now, so if that happens, I'll have had a phenomenal summer and I'll deserve to be in there. But I think the great thing about the European Tour and team right now is, you know, so many strong players vying for so little spots. So I think it's shaping up well, and hopefully they won't need me. Old man like me.
Very different remarks from Messrs McDowell and Westwood. Can they make the team? What do you think?
Well, of course they can if they play well. I mean, McDowell has won.
But Lee's playing it down. He's like, you know, hopefully they won't need me.
Well, he will do, because he's accepted the role as a vice-captain. He's miles off the team. He wouldn't, if he was on the fringes, he wouldn't have taken the job on. McDowell's won the French Open at Paris National. But you never know. Somebody could have a sparkling summer, but they will be concentrating on that. As I said to you before, Dan, pay attention. One swallow doesn't make a summer.
In other news, Colin Montgomery claimed his ninth win on the Stayshore Tour after a scintillating final round at the Shipco Masters promoted by Simon's Golf Club. He'd not won a European senior event since 2015, but came from four shots back with a final round of 67 to take a three-shot victory in Denmark ahead of Barry Lane and our very own Paul Eales. Good result for Monty, great result for Slippery.
Yeah, very good indeed. I don't think Monty's won since Woburn. Around the Duke's course.
Good knowledge.
The
Travis Good knowledge. Perkins. I knew you were here for some reason.
Yes, but Monty, I mean, his career just goes on and on and on. Class is always permanent. You've never had it done.
On the European Challenge Tour, thanks for that, John. Marcel Schneider won wire-to-wire at the Swiss Challenge presented by Association Swiss de Golf. The German's winning margin was an impressive six shots. Moving on to the women's game and the US Women's Open, Aria Jatanagan saw a seven-shot lead evaporate on the back nine, but eventually beat Hyuju Kim at the fourth extra hole to win the US Women's Open in Alabama. Jatanagan birdied five of the first nine, but four shots went in three holes in a 1-over-73. It's her second major victory. And finally, on the PGA Tour, Bryson DeChambeau captured his second PGA title with a birdie at the second playoff hole to win the Memorial. He'd finished on 15 under with Carl Stanley and Byung-Hun An. Justin Rose needed a win to become world number one, but a 2-under-70 left him three back in joint sixth. Rory McIlroy had five birdies in a 69 to finish joint eighth, but Tiger Woods shot a 72 and was six shots adrift. I thought that Justin Rose was going to win this event. I think he's going to be disappointed that he didn't because the leaders were throwing shots away over the final few holes. But Justin, unfortunately, couldn't back up his win the previous week and the Colonial to win here. But boy, is he playing well at the moment.
He's focused on the US Open. I mean, of course, he was trying to win, but to go win-win and then go to the US Open and try and win, mentally, absolutely exhausting. So I would think that he's happy with his form and he's going to be a handful at the US Open, and it wouldn't surprise me if he wins his second.
Finally, American golfer Bud Cawley suffered a broken leg, five broken ribs, and a collapsed lung after a car crash. The world number 136, who'd missed the cut at the Memorial Tournament, was a passenger in the car. We do wish him well and a speedy recovery. Let's get to the top 10 in the world rankings. John?
Still led by Justin Thomas, second, Dustin Johnson, third, Justin Rose, fourth, John Rahm, fifth, Jordan Spieth. I tell you what, Jay's popular, isn't it, in the world rankings? Sixth, Rory McIlroy. Seventh, Ricky Fowler. Eighth, Jason Day. Ninth, Brooks Koepka. And tenth, Hideki Matsuyama.
On to the next event on the Race to Dubai, which is at the Diamond Country Club near Vienna. And it's yet another funky format, John. It's the Shot Clock Masters in Austria. It's the first tournament in professional golf to use a clock on every shot as part of the European Tour's bid to combat slow play. The first player in a group to play any given shot will have 50 seconds, and then there's a 40-second limit for subsequent players. One-shot penalties will be incurred by players who miss their deadline, with each having two timeouts that they can call during a round, giving them twice the allotted number of seconds to play their next shot.
I think it's a lot of seconds, that. 50 seconds? I mean, I could make a Sunday lunch in that time.
Were you a fast player, John?
Yeah. You see, the thing nowadays is players don't do any preparation until it's their turn, because that's what psychologists teach you. Well, they're in for a bit of a shock here. We used to, you'd be hitting it, obviously, several times, because you're off 17. We'd be ready to hit when yours is gone.
I wish I was
off
17, but go on.
Or your sniffer dog's found your ball, or whatever. No, it's changed. So they're going to have to speed up. And for some players, they're going to find it a bit of a handful, because you're having to change your routine. And the game is about routine. You're taught keep the same routine because it'll stand up under pressure. So it'll be interesting to see the slower players are going to struggle.
Do you think that the scores will be worse or better?
I actually think they'll be better because... But some of them, obviously, it's going to clear the mind a little bit and you've got to get on. It might be quite refreshing. It might change a few careers. You never know. But no, it will be difficult to get used to. But of course, you'll have been practicing. If you go into this event before the US Open, it's going to give a lot of players an opportunity that probably wouldn't play that much to make an impact. So, yeah, some are going to have to adapt.
What do we know about the course, the Diamond Country Club? Near
well, it's in
Vienna,
Austria.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything else that you know about
I've been there. Yeah, it's got quite a bit of water on it. Mm. This time of the year, it can be El Hotio, as we say. It's been lovely in Britain, but it can get very hot in Central Europe, which obviously Austria. Have you been to Austria?
Yes, I have.
Oh, I tell you what, the air's clean there.
I went to Vienna. It meant nothing to me.
Salzburg, I've spent a lot of time in Austria. Salzburg's a beautiful city. I know that
is
was a
really?
Joke, but I didn't find it funny.
No?
Okay. But yeah, there's quite a bit of water on the course.
This is the marketing blurb that I've been given by our producer regarding the course. Are you ready for this?
Mm.
Scribble this down, then you can relay it to your friends if you have any. Jeremy Pern created a wonderful golf landscape.
Wake me up when you finish.
On one-of-a-kind Tolna Field. At the heart of it all is the Diamond Course, an 18-hole championship course. The Shot Clock Masters venue on the outskirts of Vienna challenges every player's ability thanks to course management and that important element of water.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, the greens, though, joking apart, are always mint around there.
Oh,
and
really?
I mean mint. Yeah. Yeah,
decent field considering the event and the time of year, John, because it's sandwiched in between very, very good events, and it's a real opportunity for one or two of the lesser lights, the rank and file, maybe, to get a European Tour win. We've got Lee Slattery playing off the back of that third place in Italy. Dean Burmester, who's played very well over the last 12, 18 months or so. Wade Ormsby, European Tour winner. Marcus Fraser, Ashen Wu, Nicholas Kolsarts, Søren Kjeldsen. Who are the fast players? Who might play well given the format? Who has got a tick in that particular box?
Well, I think Kjeldsen gets on with it. Kolsarts gets on with it. I think Slattery's, he's not a particularly slow player. Some of these other lads, though, the younger lads, they play a sort of a different game, as I say, a different pace to their play. So it's nice to see Jimenez is playing. He played well last week in Italy, and he's predominantly now on the Champions Tour.
And he gets on with it as well a bit,
doesn't he? Oh, he gets on with it, yeah. So, do you know what? I'm going to have a little... When you want my tips, I shall give you them. I think I've got the winner this week.
OK, then come on.
Right, I'm going for Jimenez and Battassio.
You like Battassio. He didn't play well in Italy. You would have thought he would have done, given the fact that
well,
it was his
pressure.
Home course.
Bit of pressure.
But there's pressure every time that these players are teeing up, John.
It can go one or two ways when you're on your own course and all you do is looking at the members that are telling you to put your divots back every day when you've been practising.
So your selections are, again, just
still
so we can
Jimenez and Battassio.
Just so we can rule them out. Lorenzo Gaye, for me.
Oh, yeah.
Played well last week. He's got a little bit of form at the course as well. Andrea Pavan is my other player. I'm going
the artist.
Double Italian.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, no, I think you've got two crackers, but not as good as mine.
Okay, well, it's my Pavan and Gaye against... Who have you gone for again?
No, still Jimenez and Battassio.
Not changing your mind?
Absolutely correct.
This is the roundup now. That's your lot. Next week, we will review the Shot Clock Masters, plus look ahead to the US Open in Austria. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via the website, as well as Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And don't forget about the European Tour app as well. And do leave us a lovely review if you are downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from John Hawksworth...
If you're going to play this weekend, play quicker.
Who have you gone for again?
Still Jimenez and Battassio.
And from me, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next week.